Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
And just like the last segment, Joshua, who is this? Pretty heavy.
Incubus.
There you go. I haven't heard the name Incubus in a long time, man. They had a couple of big hits. I don't know if they still produce new stuff. I don't know. Not dialed in. Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City. What an absolutely gorgeous November day after all the rain we had yesterday and last night. Some of that thunder last night, man, shake you right out of bed. I woke up this morning, it's a little overcast. Now the sun's out. It's going to be a great day. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Give you a couple of college football scores here, and then we'll get back to some of the news of the day. The big 11 o'clock game, Ohio State at Michigan. It's been back and forth. Ohio State now leading Michigan 14-13 with about 12 and a half minutes to go in the first half. Michigan scored first, missed the extra point, and then it's been back and forth since then. So Ohio State, Michigan, Buckeyes leading 14-13. Number three, Clemson leading South Carolina 14-3 with 7.5 to go in the second quarter. Number four, Georgia leading Georgia Tech 17-0. By the way, it's rivalry week. Some of these rivalries are weak. It's kind of a weak rivalry week in some places. And then, of course, this afternoon we'll have the Iron Bowl, Alabama and Auburn. We'll have a big one in the Big Ten between Wisconsin and Minnesota. Baylor taking on Kansas. We're going to hand off the show at 1 o'clock to the KU pregame show and the cast of thousands. Penn State taking on Rutgers. Blech. Yuck. By the way, in my stack of stories here, I knew once I started looking for it. Here it is. So you all saw the stories this week where Rutgers was going to try to hire Greg Schiano, and then all of a sudden, Greg Schiano says no. $25 million guaranteed wasn't good enough. But now, and so he backed away and said, no, I'm not taking it. The Rutgers big donor said, I'm pulling my tickets. I'm not giving you any more donations. You didn't get Schiano. I'm out. Yeah, Rutgers fans need to be demanding things in the Big Ten, Rutgers. Well, now it looks like it might be on again. According to multiple reports, this is on ESPN.com, a source close to Rutgers, so the coach and the insiders in the football program told the Associated Press on Wednesday there is optimism that an agreement can be reached. The person spoke on the condition, and blah, blah, blah. I think there's a chance of getting it done, the source said. The university announced Sunday that a four-year, $32 million deal to bring Schiano back had fallen apart. And is Rutgers... First of all, Rutgers is in the Big Ten where they shouldn't be anyway. I mean, neither should Maryland. It's ridiculous. Kind of like West Virginia in the Big 12. It just doesn't fit. Rutgers is not going to compete in the Big 10. I'm sorry. When Greg Schiano was there, they were in a different conference. They were in a different place. That ship has sailed. I don't care who you bring in. Greg Schiano's not going to win Big 10 championships. And if he does, save this tape, and I'll be glad to be wrong. Actually, I won't be because I'm an Iowa fan. But Rutgers and Greg Schiano think they're big enough to turn this into a thing? Schiano's turning down $25 million guaranteed? Seriously?
But he wanted new facilities, right?
Yeah.
And they weren't going to.
That's
going to
make all the difference in the world at Rutgers. Sorry. Hey, and look, nothing against Rutgers. You know, Peter Vermes, the manager and technical director for Sporting KC, is a Rutgers guy. Well, that's a good Rutgers. I know some Rutgers grads here in town. Nothing against Rutgers. I'm just saying from a football perspective, playing in the Big Ten, it ain't happening. I'll be glad to be proven wrong if that's the case. But I'm sorry, it ain't happening. All right, real quick, just to kind of hit our top story again, and then I'm going to go to Tommy Moe on the phone lines here. If you missed the news, it's been out for a while now. University of Missouri has fired football coach Barry Odom. Jim Sturt putting out a release this morning at 9:45 a.m. to make it official. Want to thank Coach Odom, blah, blah, blah. The big quote here, quote, as a program, we had tremendous momentum coming into the 2019 season with the opening of the new South End Zone facility, as well as other strategic investments in our football program. However, we lost a great deal of that energy during the first half of the season. The decision was difficult to make, but was necessary. Barry Odom went 25-25 in his four seasons. He is now out. National coach search underway, blah, blah, blah. So Barry Odom is done after four seasons at Mizzou. Let's go to Tommy Moe, who's always bouncing around town, morning, noon, and night, listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Tommy, how are you on this finally a sunny Saturday here in Kansas City?
Yes, too bad we can't dial this up tomorrow, 24 hours later. I think it's going to be a little drearier, but that's not Derek Carr's forte to relish in cold weather conditions,
no.
So maybe that's a good thing.
He's bad at Arrowhead, and he's bad in the cold. That's an 0-2.
He's kind of the anti-Brett Favre.
Yes, exactly. Brett Favre played in blizzards and won a ton of games. So, yeah.
Yes. You brought up a name last week, and that guy that I was fortunate to work with as a coach at another sport. I was coaching down at Blinn Junior College when Willie Fritz was down there,
yeah,
25 years ago.
Yep.
I'll never forget the quote he said. He goes, hey, Tom, if I get this quarterback, I think we're going to win a couple national championships down there. Pretty big name. Do you know who that name was?
Boy, I know Blinn
went on to locally around here, Duke 12. He went on and had a very, very brief NFL career, Michael Bishop.
Oh, boy, yeah. Transferred to K-State, yeah, absolutely.
I think he was somewhere out of Tyler, Texas, somewhere out of there. But I'll never forget Willie saying, hey, if I get this quarterback, Tom, this guy can play. And quite prophetic on Willie's part. But Willie Fritz, somewhat local ties here, know the guy. He had a lot of success at Blinn, national championships, took San Houston State to multiple, FCS, FBS championships. It's FCS championships. At Sam Houston State, I don't know if he ever won one there, but I think he went to multiple ones there. Am I correct?
Well, let's see. I actually got his bio in front of me because I was scrambling before the show to get some names going. So at Sam Houston State in 2011, they lost in the championship game. In 2012, they lost in the championship game. And in 2013, they were bounced in the second round, but they were making it to the championship game many, many times. They went to, back in CMSU. Remember when the Mineral Water Bowl first started and it was kind of a big deal? Took CMSU to that and got a win there. He's been to bowl games. Georgia Southern, went to the GoDaddy.com Bowl, went to the Cure Bowl with Tulane last year. So he's got a pretty good track record of success.
I think he's got him bowl eligible again. I think they have either six or seven. Every time they're on, I watch. And they kind of got a funky uniforms and a funky feel. They got a lot of green and blue in their uniform. It looks kind of funky. But, yeah, I always enjoy watching his career, And we're trying to find maybe the next Gary Pinkel. He hasn't quite had the success Gary Pinkel had at Toledo. You would agree with that, correct?
Yes, correct, yes.
But it's just maybe just a grade under to use as we all like to use Soren Petro terms, it's Gary Pinkel light, or the diet version of Gary Pinkel.
Right, sure.
He likes to use it sometimes. There you go, Soren, wherever you are in the world.
He's on vacation.
Wherever he's at. But, yeah, it would be interesting. I just I didn't think they were going to get rid of him. I thought it was good enough. I just hopefully this is not an Iowa State. With Dana McCarty, where it took three or four head coaches to go through and moderate, not much success. Missouri is who Missouri is. It's kind of, I think they're a 9-win team. Expectations every year should be, right at 9 should be the expectation. And what they did and to make a couple SEC championship, East victories, I guess, to go to the championship game a couple years is sort of satisfying for everybody. But I don't know, I don't know if Willie, I would love for him to be here. I think it'd be a great story. His family's from here. I think his sister still dominates over there in girls basketball at Blue Valley or wherever she's from. Am I right there?
Ann Fritz is at Blue Valley North. Ed Fritz is at Blue Valley Northwest coaching boys basketball. And he's,
yeah, Quite a coaching family they have there.
Two kids play in the national championship for Loyola of Chicago a couple of years ago.
Exactly. But, yeah, it would be interesting to see if he does get an interview. Like I said, I don't know if that name, that kind of thrills you and I. I don't know if that's going to thrill the alumni or the base here in the Kansas City metropolitan, St. Mm-hmm. Louis, Columbia area. I don't know if that's going to thrill anybody. But I think they're actually, Tulane is actually on TV today. I'm sure they are, like every other NCAA team. I'm trying to think who they're – I know they're playing SMU today, which SMU I think may still or may not be ranked. But it would be interesting. But I just would rather – hopefully they go that route and not hire some hotshot coordinator from, you know, set school.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to scroll through as fast as I can to see if Tulane is on that schedule. I've got every game rolling through.
Yeah, they play SMU today. I don't know what time. It's probably a 2:30 game if I had to guess. I might be wrong, but –
I'm going to have to – oh, here we go. I just found it. It's Tulane and SMU. It's going to be – it's at 3 o'clock Central Time on ESPNU.
So there you go. So
you can find it right there.
By the way, those who know Willie or who all those don't know much about Willie, maybe tune in and see what he's about. He used to kind of run a – more of a run-oriented offense. The same used to say what it seemed to be, but now he's – you know, he runs the spread now, it seems like. So, you know, he's diverse. He's run all kinds of offenses. You know, he's had success. He's won national championship. Like we all said, his resume is pretty impressive. It's not quite what Gary Pinkel was, but it's close.
Yeah. And by the way, I was looking through some of his information. His salary, I didn't realize it was this high at Tulane. His salary is $1.2 million. That's not bad.
He was over a million.
Yep.
Yeah, a friend of mine who coached with him, we always brag about. We're poor track coaches, and Willie Fritz went on to be a millionaire.
Oh, man alive. Well, why I got you, Tommy, real quick before, I know you're always running around town taking care of stuff. I have not hit on Chiefs-Raiders yet. Give me your prediction for Chiefs-Raiders for tomorrow afternoon.
The only way the Raiders win is if John Gruden dials up or goes and watch the Colts against the Raiders or the Chiefs, you know, 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
If he can hold his water. And I always say if teams would just run dive right and dive left against the Chiefs, they have a shot to beat them. But it's going to be second and eight, and he's going to put the ball in Derek Carr's hand. And not at Arrowhead Stadium, good things do not happen to Derek Carr. So we will see if John Gruden, the innovator that he is, the guy that he likes to show off how great a coach he is, can he just run Josh Jacobs dive right and dive left to simplify things. That's to me. If I'm coming in here tomorrow, and like I said, the Colts, I went to that game, and it was frustrating as a fan. I'm sure it was frustrating as a Chiefs player to sit there and watch second and six, third and three, fourth and one on occasion would make it, and just boom, grind and grind and grind and tick, tick, tick. The clock goes away.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, we're sitting in the fourth quarter, and we're down, you know, down 60-10, and we're going, well, my God, Patrick Mahomes and their offense hasn't got the ball and hasn't been able to do anything. So I'm interested. If that's the formula for the Raiders, they have a chance to win. But if they want to put the ball in Derek Carr's hand and have him out there 30, 35 throws, and Josh Jacobs, I put the same formula for Dalvin Cook. If he has more than 80 yards rushing and then more than 40 yards receiving, we're in trouble.
Absolutely, and I would expect a healthy dose of Josh Jacobs tomorrow at Arrowhead Stadium. Hey, Tommy, I always appreciate you checking in. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and enjoy the sunshine now that we finally have some before the cold rushes in.
Yep, got my suntan oil out, and I borrowed some SPF 40 from Lebo.
And it's all there. Okay, that's Tommy Moe joining us on the show here. Appreciate that, as always. Weighing in on Mizzou and Willie Fritz. And that was I'm not the only one who's saying Willie Fritz. I think I heard the guys on the Border Patrol talking about earlier this week. If you were going to make a move, Willie Fritz is going to be on your short list. It just is. That's the responsible thing. Let me just update a couple of scores here, and then I'll go to Greg on line two here. Ohio State has scored again. They now lead Michigan 21-13. That game has been back and forth. Number three, Clemson leading South Carolina 21-3. Number four, Georgia leading Georgia Tech 17-7. So there you go. All right, let's go to line two and talk to Greg. Greg, you're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. How are you on this Saturday afternoon?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Brad. Interesting day for you to be in when a breaking news like this occurs.
You never know, man. I've had a couple of strange weekends back-to-back where, last week, on Tuesday, I was working for Seren when the Royals introduced John Sherman as the new owner. And I was like, oh, kind of fell into that one. And then I had a stack of like 20 stories I had ready to go for today. And then Barry Odom gets fired. So, yeah, you never know.
Good for you. You're always prepared. And that's the name of the game. I remember visiting with you on the road on a remote once. And so you do a great job.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate you being there for sports radio. I think today's an interesting day because obviously, yesterday's game had nothing to do with Odom's outcome. They didn't like him to begin with. I think most people are caught by surprise in the media because the speculation has been, maybe if he wins, they keep around another year. If he loses, maybe he gets fired, but maybe not. But if he wins, he's definitely around another year. That was the talk on, all the shows on The Zone and on the program and on Border Patrol. And so nobody expected this to happen. But, I'm just going to throw out number one, did these lists exist prior to him getting fired? I mean, was there a list that you saw of the new potential Missouri head coach before
today?
No,
the list I'm looking at is from they have such a long website name, offtackleempire.com. And it's just a list of, they have, if you had your dream shot at available coaches, you have your blue bloods, you have your lower tier power five home runs. And so it's a bunch of lists. So I was just going through and picking off some names. But Willie Fritz, I've heard, I think we all bring up his name because I think we all know him a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying I'm friends with him. I think I've interviewed him a couple of times in his career especially when he was at Central Missouri. And everybody knows his brothers and sisters and everybody else around here. So that was just the name that popped into my head first.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking it's kind of funny how Ollie just suddenly appear out of nowhere. People are just pure speculation, but that's okay. That's what happens. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. Too bad for Barry Odom and his family, but obviously he just wasn't getting it done with this long losing streak. Here's a wild shot, a wild name to consider. I don't think it's going to happen, but Lane Kiffin, with all his experience out there, nobody would want really like him, but that's a wild shot.
Nope.
You don't like it, obviously.
Look, I think Lane Kiffin is a good coach. Don't get me wrong. I think there are certain schools where you're a good fit and certain schools where you're not. His time at Tennessee, he was one and done, for crying out loud.
He burned too many bridges along the way.
Yes.
It's just a wild shot. I was just joining the fray of this wild speculation. I don't really have a strong name right now, except the guy at Indiana is a little bit impressive to me with what he's done.
Seven wins.
Big Ten.
That's hard to do at Indiana.
It is. It's very hard to do it in Indiana. So I think that's a guy to think about. You definitely don't want to go coordinator route. If I'm in the athletic director's role, I want to go with somebody that's proven head coach. And that's just the way I look at it, And I think you should go for a younger guy with more energy than an older, experienced guy. I mean, Les Miles has got a lot of experience. He won a national championship, but I just think his energy level is not quite as where you want it to be, for instance, if we're the big program like Missouri. So. Anyway, that's my thoughts. You have a great day and great job.
Hey, Greg, thank you very much. Appreciate your time, as always. Thank you for the kind words, by the way. And I think it'd been kicked around on the shows this week here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I don't think anybody – I would have to text Jason and Steven and Nate and Jake and Saran and Todd and Josh Briscoe and everybody else. I don't think the Barry Odom decision hinged on the Arkansas game. That decision had been made. There wasn't an outcome that was going to save the job. And by the way, Greg, I do agree with you on the coordinator position. When you're at a Power 5 school, when you're in the SEC, you got to have someone who knows how to manage a program as a head coach. Because we saw what a disaster it was for David Beatty at Kansas. And again, not comparing the two. Not at all. So, Mizzou fans, I'm not comparing you to Kansas. Kansas fans, not comparing you to Mizzou. Not at all. But you see what happens. And David Beatty wasn't even a coordinator before he got the Kansas job. That was a recipe for disaster from the get-go. Remember, just churning through assistants and coordinators. And every week, David Beatty coming out to, we had so many mistakes on special teams. I'm taking over this week. Well, the defense is having problems. I've taken over this week. We're having trouble covering wide receivers. I'm going to coach the defensive backs this week. You can't have that. You got to put the people in position, trust them to do their jobs, and get out of the way. If you have suggestions, great. But you can't be coming in week after week after week saying, well, now my focus is over here. Well, that was last week, now I'm over here. You just can't have that. So for Mizzou, SEC, Power 5, I just think it has to be somebody with head coaching experience. Mizzou is not a learn-on-the-job type place anymore. They haven't been in a long time. So I'm sure the lists are going to come out at powermizzou.com and the folks at the Kansas City Star. They have a new Missouri beat writer. And I follow him on Twitter, and I'm forgetting his name because he's only been here a couple of months. So I'm sure they'll all have lists, and there'll be names that leak out and things like that. But, yeah, that's what I was throwing out a little bit earlier. Just Willie Fritz was the first name that popped in my head, and we had Jason Lisk on the show. He threw out Dave Clawson from Wake Forest. He's put together a good record. They've been ranked. And Wake Forest, if you went back 8 years ago, 9 years ago, at the state of the program, just how awful they were, and look where they are now, with a chance to go to their fourth consecutive bowl game. It's pretty impressive. I know it's not the SEC. I know it's not the Big 12. It's the ACC. You get good competition. But to go to a program like Wake Forest and get that turned in the right direction, I think that's good stuff. And again, you're going to have plenty of other names, and I'm just kind of rolling through a couple here. If you watched Boise State play the other night, Brian Harsin is going to be at the top of some wish lists, and who knows. You saw Chris Peterson wait too long when he was at Boise State, having all that great success, beating Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl on the Statue of Liberty play. He passed up some opportunities, maybe waited too long, went to Washington, and I know they won the Apple Cup yesterday, but they're not anything memorable at Washington. There's nothing that sticks out to me. So we'll see if Brian Harsin, wants to take a step up. You're going to hear like Jeff Brohm at Purdue. And again, I'm kind of picking up. I'm throwing out a couple of names that Mizzou, it might be in their wheelhouse, and I'm not going to go through names like P.J. Fleck. There's definitely some folks. So we're coming up on a timeout here. We have not had a chance to talk Chiefs football yet because of the Barry Odom news. But it's Raider week. I'm going to have about 35 minutes left in the show. It would be irresponsible for me to skip over Chiefs and Raiders. So we're going to do that next. We might hear a little bit from Andy Reid, perhaps a little from Frank Clark. Chiefs and Raiders, this is a huge game. It is absolutely huge in terms of division and playoff implications. So we'll talk about that. We'll take a quick timeout. You are listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Joshua, I think you hit this one every weekend, right? Just about. No?
I think this is the first time.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn?
Maybe Brass.
Maybe Connell ran it. Yeah. Maybe Connell ran it a couple weeks ago, last week. I remember. More Beastie Boys. Can't go wrong. Never go wrong. There's no Beastie Boys song you can play and that I would say, eh. No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Fantastic video, too. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Update college football. Ohio State has scored again. They are now leading Michigan 28-13. Jim Harbaugh may be on his way to getting pantsed in his Dockers again against the biggest rival. I think Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. you know, Michigan fans who want him fired, then what? Then who? Who's the next guy? Huh? He's a good coach. Yes, can't beat Iowa State or Ohio State. I get it. That's fine. Okay. So Ohio State in command right now. By the way, one more thing before I flip the switch over to the Chiefs. I mentioned earlier we had a couple of suggestions on my Twitter account for who Mizzou might think about hiring since Barry Odom has now been relieved of his duties. I mentioned Dave Johnson throwing out Herm Edwards and Eric Bieniemy. I'm not sure about either one of those. Herm loves life in Tempe, Arizona. He plays golf all the time. Makes good money. Lives a good lifestyle. Eric Bieniemy is going to be an NFL head coach. I got another suggestion here from one of my one of our loyal followers. By the way, you can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. And Rob, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your last name. I'm going to give it my best shot. Rob Dissell or Dizelle or Dicelli. Apologize if I didn't get that right. Throughout Dave Doran. And I know he's a popular name with KU fans. He probably, he did want the KU job years ago. Somehow KU mishandled that. Ended up at NC State where he's had a good run. He's been to 5 bowl games. He's won 3 of them. Won the St. Petersburg Bowl in 2014. Lost in the Belk Bowl in 15. Won the Independence Bowl in 2016. Won the Sun Bowl in 2017. Lost in the Gator Bowl last year. And this year is not having a great season. NC State is 4-7 overall, 1-6 in the conference, in the ACC. I don't know. Dave Doran wanted the KU job years ago. I don't know if he would consider Mizzou, and I think he's making pretty good money at NC State. He's been on a good run. They're not having a good season this year. I don't know. I'm not saying anything, but might as well make the phone call, right? If you're Mizzou, you might as well make the phone call. At least see if he'll listen. I don't know. That's a good name to throw out. I highly doubt he would come to Mizzou, being a Kansas. Heck, he coached high school football here in town. Nate Bukati knows him, for crying out loud. So I'm not sure if he would want to be a Mizzou guy. I don't know. Maybe the lure of the SEC. Who knows? But it's worth a phone call. All right, we're going to switch gears here and talk some Chiefs football, taking on the Raiders tomorrow. By the way, we're going to be Chiefs and Raiders wall-to-wall tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then at 9 o'clock, you'll have Josh Briscoe and Tim Grunhard and Curtis Seabolt on with the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show. That's at 9 a.m. Then I'll be here from noon to 3:15 with more pregame coverage. And then we'll hand it off to coverage of the National Football League. And then Mr. Briscoe and I will be back with the postgame show immediately after Chiefs and Raiders. By the way, Joshua Byers, who's here with me today running the show, did you see the videos that have been making the rounds of Andy Reid making a guest appearance on Diners, Drive-Ins, and God, I always forget the title. It's a lot of alliteration.
And Dives. Yeah, I think they're at a food truck called Local Pig in Kansas City?
Yeah, I know it's barbecue.
But
there's only like a 20-second clip going around, right? It's Guy Fieri and Andy Reid.
Yeah, and he was, you know, indulging in some nice barbecue,
yeah,
of course. But he was letting that personality fly, you know. I like seeing Andy Reid. You could tell he was right in his element. And then, you know, Guy Fieri is an Oakland Raiders fan.
Right.
So it's just perfect matching up this week with the Raiders and the Chiefs. But it was fun to see Andy, you know, have a little fun with a smile on his face. And he had some Chiefs guys with him, personnel.
Well, he had some, when there's food on the table, you're going to see that come out. The short clip that I saw, Guy Fieri's like, you want me to cut this sandwich now? And cut the barbecue sandwich in half. And then Andy Reid basically hoovered it, right? I'm not saying anything embarrassing. He was pretty quick on the draw, right? And
he took a nice juicy bite.
A healthy bite. And I saw somebody had tweeted out, well, Andy Reid finally got the 2-minute drill, right? Whatever. He's having a good time. Andy Reid he likes food, likes to have a good time. I suppose he gets along with Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri's in Kansas City a lot, right? Does he have that new taco joint down in is that Power and Light?
Power and Light, and, you know, there's great food in Kansas City, so I don't blame him, besides the fact that he may be a Raiders fan. He does look like a Raiders fan.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He'd fit right in the black hole out there in Oakland. I don't know about Vegas. I have not, personally, I don't know anybody who's been to his taco place here in Kansas City. I know the week it opened, there were a lot of negative comments about how long the wait was, the price of the food, and most importantly, the quality of the food. Some folks were not happy, and the comments back from the restaurant, I don't even know what it's called, give us some time, we just opened, you know, that kind of thing. And so it was an awkward start, let's put it that way. And I think he was having to come back and kind of, I think Guy Fieri was having to come back and kick some tail to get some people motivated. So, I don't know. I know people who own restaurants. It's not easy. It's not easy. I'll tell you the restaurant I'm looking forward to. I mean, there are plenty of good breakfast places in town, right? I like the Egg Cetera over in Brookside, right next to the Minsky's on Main Street. Love that place. There's a place going to be opening in Westport soon, and we went to this place as a family years ago in Denver. It's called the Denver Biscuit Company, and it is terrific. Now, I might have changed it, you know, opening in Kansas City. I might have called it the Kansas City Biscuit Company, but there's already Big Biscuit, I don't know. But they make their French toast and waffles and all that out of biscuit material, and it's fantastic. And they have slabs of bacon that go from, well, I was going to say the floor to the ceiling, but that would be a health code violation. It's probably 3 to 4 feet high, and they just keep throwing them in the oven, and it's terrific. So there's your little breakfast preview for the Denver Biscuit Company whenever they open in Westport. And if anybody's listening involved with the Denver Biscuit Company and you need somebody to give you a trial run, give me a call. I will be there. All right, now to Chiefs football. After we diverted, we talked about Andy Reid being on Guy Fieri. We'll get back to the football, Chiefs and Raiders tomorrow. Let's hear from Frank Clark. Now, he'd come under a lot of criticism early in the season. Huge contract, $100 million, wasn't racking up the numbers. Then he missed the game, saying he had a pinched nerve in his neck going back to training camp. And then came back and looked pretty damn good. Now, I think he's been better than what, you know, a lot of the opinion is. I think he forces action inside. I think he forces action the other way. But for that money, you want to see the sack numbers. You want to see his name getting called a lot. You want to hear his name getting called a lot. And that happened after he taking that week off. So here is Frank Clark this week talking about getting back on the field and looking ahead to the Raiders Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium.
Raiders coming up in here. How long does it take you to kind of get these rivalries figured out? You know, we're jumping into a new division.
Not too long, man. My whole life, rivalry's been the same thing. No matter where you're from, you know, whether it's in the neighborhood, you know, you're playing street ball, it's the street over, you know, or if it's, the football team will call themselves your rival. So. At the end of the day, you know, the history says it all. You know, Chiefs versus Raiders on Raider Week in Chiefs Town. You know, and just want to give our fans, you know, we haven't been that good at home. Just want to, why not give them a great W against the Raiders, our rival team at home this week?
You can basically take control of the division. They lost last week. You guys take care of them. You just beat the Chargers last week. You feel that this week, right? What's on the line?
I mean, I feel like every week it's on the line. You know, you start to feel like, you know, and like I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks, you know, in November, that's when real football gets played. You know, in December, in November, December, that's when games are won. That's when championships are won. You know, because these are the times where you got teams that, you know, the front runners start to fall off. The teams that really weren't about what they're about in the beginning of the season start to fall off. And the teams that everybody slept on start to make their rise. So at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, you have to make, you know, every play that comes to you, you have to be sound and efficient in your technique. And, you know, it's no mistakes. It's only time for mistakes to be made or, you know, the result's going to be a lost game.
How are you feeling health-wise? You had a really nice game against the Chargers. You feeling about as healthy as you've been this year?
Yeah, I get healthy as the season goes on. It's usually the opposite of me. You know, start the season off banged up, then by the end of the season, I'll be at full health.
So that game against the Chargers, you feel like you're kind of getting in the groove. You're getting a lot of pressure. It looked like you had a really good read on their snap. or whatever it was? I mean, was it just one of those days where you're really feeling it, or you feel like you're really kind of finding your stride in this defense?
Nah, I kind of put everything together. I've been said, you know, I'm hurt. I was hurt in the beginning of the season to start. There was a lot going on. You know, that was slowing me down. That was enabling me to be myself. Type of player I am, I like to play wild. You know, I like to play with aggression. I play with a lot of flash. I like to play with a lot of aggression, you know, and the style of my play. You know, I play, everything comes with confidence with me and how it starts, you know. I feel like I'm the best player in the field when I'm on the field. And, you know, if I continue to play like that, you know, I feel like I got a lot of things to prove, I feel. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm one of the best defensive ends in the league. And I feel like I want to be the best at, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, when my day comes. So at the end of the day, man, a lot of teams, they got to, you know, they got to prepare. I know the preparations and the game plan and stuff, they've been like that all year. They got a game plan and they got to keep it coming, because I'm coming, like I've been saying. So they got to come with it. Raiders got to come with it, and everybody, every other team. And I'm going to say that. I'm going to keep saying it. Like I said, my neck, nothing's not, a lot of that stuff is not in the past now. So, yeah, they're getting some football from Frank Clark right about now.
Frank, Coach Spack said that last week you were just a bit more focused. What was it about last week that maybe made you lock in and say, I'm going to
get health, better? My health got better. My health is getting better. And like I said, it's a whole different type of football that I play when my health is at where it needs to be. Like I said, you know, when your neck is affecting you, you know, it's nerves, man. It's only so much I can do when it's nerves affecting you. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you eliminate stuff like that, then it comes down to just the ability. And, you know, when you put my ability against any offensive tackle in the league, you know, I choose myself over the offensive tackle. So at the end of the day, I trust my D-line. I trust my D-line versus their O-line any day. And that's what the game is going to be about. We know what they're about. We know how they're going to come in here. They're going to try to run the ball down our throat. They did last time we played them. Even though it resulted in us with a win, that running back, you're a pretty good kid as a rookie. I feel like we're going to get the job done up front. That's how we're going to win this game.
It's easy to see that you really like to play. Just how tough were those two games that you did have to sit back and say, I need to get right here?
You said what?
How tough were the two games having to watch when you had to get your neck right?
I mean, it was tough. It's been tough the whole season. Like I said, it wasn't just two games I was hurt. I played through the whole season. You can see in the play, I was playing timid the whole season. You know, there's times where I didn't even want to play. You know what I'm saying? Just because I heard I was. I was out there sacrificing my own thoughts and stuff for my teammates. That's just type. That's the nature of the game. That's the game we play. That's how you talk from the moment you come into this league, you know. But at the end of the day, that's not an option. That's not a, you know, a thing we even thinking about no more. That's not a thing we worried about. Like I said, it's all been, you know, uphill, and everything's been getting better. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my health. Like I said, it comes around at the right time for me usually. And I'm getting my second win. I'm getting my health back. And, you know, I'm just ready to go out there and play football. I've been off too long. I'm kind of tense. I'm kind of, like I said, I'm simmering right now, honestly.
Thank you.
I appreciate y'all. Appreciate it,
Frank. Frank Clark, simmering right now. That's what he said. All right, good stuff. You heard Todd Lebo at the beginning of that. Speaking with him out at Arrowhead Stadium, Chiefs and Raiders. And start off asking about the rivalry. And I'll have a comment on that in a second. We're coming up on a timeout here. And then we'll have our last segment of the show. And then I'm off to Thanksgiving at my dad's house, which should be, I get two Thanksgivings. That's not bad, right? Not bad at all. Joshua, do you have one or two Thanksgivings? You just have the one?
Just have one.
Just one. Okay. When you're older, you might have two.
It's been a busy semester. I could have two. I have the potential for two. My dad lives in Jeff City, so.
Okay.
But that's a bit of a drive.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, on that note, we will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and a little more Chiefs talk, and then we'll wrap it up, and we'll hand it off to the KU football pregame show. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back for the final couple of minutes here, Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, and a sunny Saturday afternoon. I don't know why I dragged out the word sunny. Sunny. It's a good day. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers has been running the show today. Thank you to Jason Lisk from TeamRankings.com, who joined us in the first hour, and all the callers today, and people who have been tweeting at me their ideas for who should be the next football coach.
at the University of Missouri. Back to Chiefs. We just heard from Frank Clark. Chiefs and Raiders tomorrow, 3:25 p.m. Our coverage begins bright and early, 8 o'clock. And then the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show with Josh Briscoe and Tim Grunhard and Curtis Siebold at 9 a.m. And then I'll be on from noon to 3:15, somewhere around there. And then Josh and I'll be back with the postgame show immediately after. By the way, Joshua Byers, do you know the have you seen the spread for the game tomorrow between the Chiefs and Raiders?
I have not looked at it.
I am a little stunned.
Is it like 3?
It's big.
Oh, okay.
I thought it would be close. But I guess, you know, factoring in Derek Carr's record at Arrowhead, it's going to be cold. And now this is on ESPN.com. I'm not on a gambling website, but ESPN.com. Chiefs favored by 10.5.
Wow.
That seems like an awful big matzo ball to me.
Realistic. I've been, you know, thinking about it ever since last week when we started talking about the Raiders. It's a great story, you know, the Raiders, I guess, this year. If you're going to have anyone be a motivating factor of telling your team that this is your last year in Oakland, well, I think John Gruden could portray that message, you know, pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then the Jets happened. And you just,
the Jets happened. I love that.
You just don't know what the mindset is. That's maybe a little bit of a confidence killer. But I like what Tommy Moe said back to him. You know, if Josh Jacobs gets going, I think that's the key to him.
Yep.
Just shut him down. And then 10.5, very, very reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's just a big number. I just don't think I would touch 10.5. Division rival, playoff lives on the line. Look, I could see the Chiefs winning this game 37-14. I could easily see that. No problem. If you wanted to pick that, that's no problem. If you asked me to put money on the line, Chiefs favored by 10.5, I don't think I'd touch that one. I just wouldn't. That's just me, though.
Yeah, really, with no matter anyone's record, division games are just always so much tougher.
Yeah, and I just don't like those double-digit numbers. It makes me nervous. Well, I don't have to be nervous about it because I don't bet, so gambling's not legal. By the way, I read a story this morning. I apologize. I didn't get it printed out, but I think it was on Fox 4's Twitter account that there are people in Jefferson City on the Republican and the Democrat side who have been working on a study about legalized sports gambling in Missouri. Now, this has probably been going on for a couple of years, but I guess they're inching closer to it because Iowa, legal. Illinois, legal. Arkansas, legal. Kansas and Missouri just sitting on the sidelines watching that money flow out. Same thing for Nebraska. You don't think the folks in Lincoln are making that, 20-minute drive over to Iowa to, of course, I don't know where the nearest casino is to Lincoln, but you don't think they're making that drive in there to put a sawbuck down on some Nebraska or Big Ten football games? Definitely happening. So Chiefs and Raiders tomorrow, coverage all day long here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Of the early games tomorrow, the noon, by early I mean noon because the Chiefs play at 3:25, so you got time to take in some other games. We do this, Joshua, I think every weekend. Games you might consider, or is it simply NFL Red Zone channel? Jets and Bengals, not a chance in hell.
No.
Not even going to. I don't care about any high, unless you've got fantasy players in that game. No.
And I feel bad for you if you do have fantasy players in that game.
The Jets are only favored by 3. Okay. All right. Titans, Colts, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be, you know, in terms of that division, that's a big game. Colts favored by 1.5.
Yeah, we'll see their second game, I believe, without Marlon Mack.
Uh-huh. Titans, Colts, I can see that. Eagles, Dolphins, no way. Nope. Eagles favored by 10. Yes for you, though, Joshua, since you're the Eagles fan.
It's a yes.
You're favored by 10. You'll win by 20. Jeez.
I need that boost in confidence. So.
Sure. Packers, Giants, no. That's a red zone channel, strictly.
Red zone.
Packers favored by 6.5. Browns and Steelers, oh boy. Did you see the T-shirt Freddie Kitchens was wearing yesterday?
Yeah, it's like, wow.
Pittsburgh started it? Okay, your guy swung a helmet at another guy's uncovered head. And you're rolling with a t-shirt that says Pittsburgh started it?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Bold move on Freddie Kitchens' part.
Freddie Kitchens might be the most immature coach in the National Football League. I'm sure I could go through the list and come up with some other ones. Freddie Kitchens is... he's a frat brother, is what he is. Going back to training camp. By the way, let me double check. How much time we have left, Joshua? About 2 minutes? Okay. Freddie Kitchens needs to grow up. There's a reason his team plays undisciplined football and immature football. It's from the top down. Freddie Kitchens with a Pittsburgh started it t-shirt. I get it. Ha ha. You want some yucks in the locker room. And that was yucks with a Y, by the way. You want some ha-has from the guys on the team. Huh, coach is making a joke. That's a joke. You don't do that at this. It's like Tom Herman at Texas when they were beating Mizzou and he did the backpack thing, making fun of Drew Lock. Grow up. You're a grown freaking man. Pittsburgh started it. All right, I got 1 minute left. Browns and Steelers, so yeah, that's a definite watch. Browns favored by two, by the way. Then you got Washington and Panthers. Nope. Carolina favored by 10. Red zone channel only. Buccaneers, Jaguars. Nope. That's a red zone channel only. Buccaneers favored by 2.5. 49ers, Ravens. Yes.
Yes.
Serve me some of that.
Absolutely.
Ravens favored by 5.5.
That's
the matchup.
They've
been rolling up points on everybody.
That's the national game of the week.
Absolutely. And then you had the 3 o'clock games, including the Chiefs and the Raiders. The Sunday night primetime game is Patriots-Texans.
Yep.
Tune in for that. And then Monday night is Seahawks and Vikings. Definitely. Absolutely. All right. We are out of time on the show. In fact, I think I ran long, but that's okay. KU football pregame show is coming up next, then kickoff at 2:30. Thank you to Joshua Byers for running the show today. My name is Brad Porter. Enjoy football all day long here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.